Hello and welcome to Girlfriend Translator episode
24.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thanks. And you?
Pretty good. Anything you'd like to add or share before we start today?
To add? To how are
know,
you doing?
Just like
nothing.
Last week you told an interesting shark story. I just didn't know if there was anything in your repertoire.
Nope.
Okay. Well, then before we begin, I'll just do the typical plug to please leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast, or to migrate to a platform that does take ratings and or reviews.
Ooh.
Drop a review there.
Oh, yeah, and then get the hell out
and
of there.
Leave. Yeah. Second, if you have your own relationship questions or just general, really any question that you'd like us to answer on upcoming shows, you can send them along to girlfriendtranslator@gmail.com. The email address is in the show notes, or you can just type it out, girlfriendtranslator@gmail.com. With that out of the way, are you ready for the first question?
Yes.
Okay, this one is a Reddit question. The user is Life with the Other Side. And the title is, okay, so the guy is 36 and his partner is 35. He says, my partner says she's annoyed that I always try to quote unquote jump to fix things. So my partner says that she's completely sick of my tendency to respond with solutions when she comes to me with her problems that have solutions. Like today, she came upstairs to talk about something with our daughter, but then she said she was a bit peckish. I asked her if she wanted me to go get or make something to eat, and she got annoyed at me for fixing things. To her, talking about how she's hungry and my response of me wanting to sort out something to eat makes no sense, but to me it makes total sense. To me, I tend to operate on an idea that the world has problems and difficulties. So basically, if something has an easy solution, get those sorted if you can as soon as possible and make life easier. You'll never fix everything, but sort easy and critical stuff if you can, and the hard stuff will have more space.
Wait, she's hungry and you made her food and she's mad?
She said that she was a bit peckish, and he said, oh, I'll make you something to eat, and then she got
irritated.
That's
nice.
Yeah. She tends to instead like to think and process things for much longer.
Like eating?
I feel like that might be a skewed example that he's providing.
I don't know, but still.
Yeah, no, it's still a bit absurd. But she likes to think and process things for much longer, for me, that aren't complicated or tricky. For me, if something takes about 30 seconds to think about and do, it's hard to understand why it might take her hours. So I often just say the easy solution when it's there, basically, so we have time to do other things. This often leads to problems, because
why?
I want to resolve the thing immediately, and she wants to think about it, and it slips my mind, and then it just doesn't get done. Additionally, she will come to me with physical problems, but in reality, the issue is that she's feeling... Okay. So kind of to build on the issue, she comes to me with physical problems, but in reality, the issue is that she's feeling complicated emotionally. But often the only aspect of the problem she's told me are the practical or physical ones. So in this case, she gets doubly annoyed at me for not listening and just jumping to fix something. So where can I go from here? I'm torn on if me wanting to fix problems is even a problem, and if it is, what can I do about it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean... Well, I mean, if you can fix them, it's hard for me to understand why that's a problem, but maybe it's more of an issue of her wanting to fix her own problems a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's, you know, maybe if you step in, it might feel like a little controlling to her. Maybe if you wanted to work on something, I guess it might be, and it might be nice for you. It's not always your responsibility to do that, even if you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, there is something to be said for figuring out your own problem and using a friend as a sounding board. I guess if maybe you jump in very quickly to solve a problem, and yeah, that maybe sometimes that's not necessary. It might not be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it just might be that for you, that is how your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And hers just might work differently. Sounds like you're married or something because you're
that's
a kid.
His wife.
Oh,
maybe
I see. I mean, yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe she needs like to feel some sort of sense of accomplishment or something or some self-sufficiency. Maybe she's the kind of person that actually wants to learn. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you solve the problem, she's not getting anywhere. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know how you're supposed to figure that out.
The only thing that I can maybe think is maybe, like, maybe she's just kind of venting.
Well, then she should say, you don't have to fix everything. Right, like, she didn't say that. Like, you can say, well, it's not your responsibility to fix my problems.
Yeah.
I'm really not even asking. I just want to talk to you, let it out. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. The point is, well, it does matter.
Yeah, it does.
But maybe not everything requires a solution.
Right.
From you.
Yeah.
But it does better for her to figure it out on her own. Maybe that's how she processes things. And then it might be kind of nice for you to experiment with that, to not feel that you do. And maybe you felt that. Maybe that's something you've always felt. Maybe there's a reason you feel that way, that everything is a problem that needs a solution. Not that he's saying that, but and loosely. I don't mean that more, like, I don't mean that as a dramatic, like, you see everything as a problem. No, I don't think he does. I just think that's how he solves or lives. That's his perspective. That's the way he views life. He kind of has that worldview for a reason.
Yeah, he kind of laid it out there, the way that he does view things and, like, the hierarchy.
And maybe there's a reason for that, and maybe it's not 100% natural for him. Mm-hmm. And maybe he was just expected to fix a lot of problems. Maybe he grew up in a house where people didn't do that, and he's more inclined to do that. So maybe this is good for him to learn how to back off a little bit for his own sake, even for hers, but being around someone that isn't like you, you know, if that's the thing about marriage, you do change and grow, and it's never ending. It's not... That's just sort of maybe an opportunity for him to, like, learn to be a different way sometimes. He might enjoy talking more if it isn't always about solving a problem. I could see that as a possibility.
That's a good point. Yeah, I certainly think so.
I mean, if you love solving problems, I don't know that everybody loves solving problems all the time. I just don't think that's true. I think that there should be a balance of that. Some people are better at that and do it more often, but they can also... I mean, if it's making a sandwich, I can't understand why anyone... Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she's just trying to communicate.
Maybe that's how she communicates to herself that she's hungry. Yeah. But that's not a problem. I can see why that would make her feel a little bit like he's always doing things for her. And maybe she feels bad about that. Like, maybe she doesn't want him to be the one feeling like he's got to fix everything.
Yeah, like, I'm not ordering you around. I'm just trying to talk to you or something. Like, maybe
that's what she feels. Actually, yeah. I could see that. Like, maybe... she doesn't want to feel like he feels that way about her. You know what he should do is just, like, look at 16 personalities, the MBTI, and read about all of these different types, because I don't know why that's a controversial thing. It's apparently controversial. It's like, well, yeah, I guess if you follow it to the letter of the law, but who's going to do that? It's just a general form of guidance.
Yeah, it just kind of gives some insight.
Yeah, it's feeling. Like, it doesn't work. Is it supposed to? Aren't you just supposed to work? Should you really be relying on that?
Right.
And are you mad when it doesn't work? Well, maybe that's because you have unrealistic expectations of it.
Yeah.
No, but it's very useful in understanding people. So I would definitely recommend that. I like humanmetrics.com.
Yeah, me too.
So that one is, it's not fancy, but I think it's very good.
Yeah, I think that's the best.
And then you can kind of learn and sort of find one that fits her a little bit and then read about it. It's very helpful.
Definitely.
Because it does explain a lot. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way in every way. No, because you have different personalities. But if you're going to kind of, there are some generalizations you can make and they're very helpful. So I just think that, yeah, just don't, maybe don't solve all her problems. You know, they're not problems to her sometimes, I think.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And maybe that's the problem, is maybe you see everything as a problem to be solved when it isn't.
Yeah.
It might just be someone saying, yeah, I'm kind of peckish.
I mean, I can kind of relate to that, thinking that something is always like a problem to be solved. And then it's like,
well, it might just be personality
type. Someone's just saying something, okay.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't get it. Or one of the, that's where this MBTI stuff, whatever, Myers-Briggs.
Personality.
Yeah. Oh, Myers-Briggs, schools use that. It's like, okay, whatever. That's why I hated it. I didn't even know what it was and I hated it. But when I read about it, I thought, oh, that's actually really good. I don't know that you should find a job that way, but it helps you understand that people are wired a certain way and you can actually use a system like that to help you understand people and not take it personally.
Certainly. Ready for the next one? Okay, this one comes from Benise.
Okay.
The question is, okay, so he's 25 and she's 23, and he's asking, is my fiance drifting away from me? My fiance is, in my eyes, the most wonderful woman I've ever known, and it pains me to reach out because I always want to just know what to do and how to feel. Mere months ago, things were great. Not to say things are horrible now, we don't fight, but I felt so much more connected to her back then compared to now. We're talking about 2 months back, I suppose. I guess I feel like our life has become a little predictable, and I'm not 100% sure how to bring back that flair and love that used to make my heart beat out of my chest. We would always find thoughtful expressions and cute ways to remind each other that we were bound for a good life together. Perhaps the honeymoon phase is waning. We do spend a lot of time together. Like, we eat dinner together, carpool to work together, sleep in the same bed together.
Well, that's what a marriage is going to be.
Fast forward to today. Our long, drawn-out, passionate kissing has been exchanged for pecks on the lips 99% of the time. Seldom we will hold hands on the interstate. We still laugh at each other's jokes and smile and talk, but I feel like the intimacy is disappearing. Occasionally we'll sit in the car in silence. We comfort and reassure each other that sometimes we're just quiet people. I have a trip coming up in about a week to Montana for her birthday. I'm hoping that I can push some romance into the equation. Any advice, questions, any advice?
Well, I really think that eventually, yes, you will settle into a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Love changes. It develops into something different. And it's not going to be like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And to expect it to be is missing the point. That doesn't mean the end of something. It means it's developing and growing into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it could never sustain itself that way. That honeymoon phase cannot last. You wouldn't be able to live like a rational existence if you were that into someone all the time in that way. But mm-hmm. you develop trust. You develop a much deeper love. You will face issues that are challenging together. It's a much more enduring love. It's based on an entire life together of all these experiences you've shared. Those kinds of feelings are not, they're not going to be as passionate, because that's not what that is. You know, real, genuine, lifelong love. I think the requirement for it to be like a honeymoon period is not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why people assume that it's worse.
Right.
It's not. It's much deeper. You don't have to do that like you used to. It's so deep. It's a real spiritual bond you have with that person, where you can be silent. There's some things about that that can be more intimate in a way to me than the show of affection all the time.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, I don't think that's always as important as people make it seem. I think the fact that someone feels that they can really be who they are with you, and I don't mean be idiots, because some people will do things that are gross. They will fart. They will do all these things. And if the girl's fine with that, that's fine. That's fine. But that can be really gross
uh-huh.
to some people.
Yeah.
It just can. So if you want to be attractive to a person, you have to maintain your dignity. I mean, I've just known some people who I just like, well, but she said she doesn't like that.
Uh-huh.
It's not sexy. If that's so important to you, find someone who does like that. And they're out there. They're fine. They're out there. But some people don't, you know? It's like, I don't think that that means there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a maturity. You have to be mature. I think everybody feels this way when they're young. Mm-hmm. They think, uh-oh. Oh, is that not? No. That's the part of love that you get to experience more often when you're young, because relationships don't last as long. They shouldn't. So you have an expectation that love is that. Well, that's the beginning. But it's also all these other greater things. That, my God, when you lose that person, I think when you're older and someone, they become lost without them. It's not because they're helpless. It's because they miss them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they can't do things. They appreciated those things, those very special little things that that person would do. They don't have to be romantic. They're just thoughtful. It's the companionship, the knowing that this person knows me so well. That there, I can go to, like, that is a comfort you can't describe. And it's so precious. So that honeymoon period, that will come and go throughout your relationship. But that's not love. That isn't what love is. That's a stage of love, and that's an expression of love. But there are so many other deeper expressions of love. Commitment, for one thing. You really have to consider the other person. And you get to make that effort. You get to be the one to consider what that should mean to you, to know someone so well that you're the one who's responsible for remembering that you've got to consider them. You've got to consider their feelings, their how they are, what they want out of their life. Are they achieving that? Is that, you know, you're gauging that too for another person, which always makes you a better person. And they should be doing it for you. And to have someone that to make really big decisions with is so wonderful, you know, because you're not alone in it. It's like a team. That is love. It isn't, and you do look forward to seeing them every day, but not so you can just jump on them. Mm-hmm. That's infatuation, and that's great, but that's not the same thing. It's being able to laugh together. You know, watching a movie and laughing at the same jokes, like, or not, and wanting to know why. You know, stay curious, stay interested in the other person. Stay interested in them as people, their personality, ask more questions. But don't tie it all to these honeymoon period. That's okay. I think for guys that can be very difficult, and they panic. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to panic.
Right.
But it doesn't say anything about your relationship, your bond. Think about what you would... I think one thing that is not unhealthy is to think about if they died. Yeah, absolutely. What if this person died? What if they got hit by a car tomorrow? Just think about that every now and then. And then think about what would you miss? I don't know if it's going to be the kissing. That might help. I used to do this, okay? I think this is a really good thing to do to keep your relationship vibrant, right? To always remember how important this is to imagine if a car hit this person and I lost them, because that can happen. Always remember that can happen. What would you miss? Write a list. And maybe when you get lost or you worry, as we all do, it's totally normal. I know guys worry about this a lot too. And I certainly don't judge that at all, but you don't have to worry. If you can think of that, you can do this. It's not happening. You'll feel better afterwards. She's fine. And write down what you would miss and really, really put yourself there. If you do that now, you will never forget why you love this person and what love is. If it's not a good list, then maybe you have something here. You have a problem. Mm-hmm. If you can't really come up with stuff, but really put yourself in that, like really psych yourself up and imagine what that must feel like and write down what you will miss. Then you'll know. And then I want you to look at that when you feel this. You can always do, you should always do, if you want to do something romantic, do it. Do all of those things. That's you showing her this matters to you, and she should know that. And she'll hopefully that will matter to her if it matters to you. But that isn't the point. That isn't why you get married either. So this is why. Write that list. Really put yourself there. Don't play halfsies with this. Like, really imagine. Really get, like, if you have any acting ability, try it. And really get lost in that, feeling that, what that would be like for you and what you would miss. And if it's holding hands, kiss, that might be some of it. But there's going to be a lot more, I think, if this is right. Mm-hmm. Or it might be a few things, but really important things. What will you miss? Because people go through this every day. They lose people they love. They are so destroyed by it. And you want to imagine, I think it's good to imagine it before it happens. That way, if it never happens, that's great. Eventually, you will all die. You do know that, right? I don't know. I wonder sometimes if the world is aware of their mortality.
Because that's years
nuts.
Certain,
like,
yeah, no kidding.
But that's another issue. But I think that is actually a really good exercise to do when you are feeling doubt.
Yeah.
And just check, leave it somewhere where you can see it. Just for you. Not for her, for you. Keep it to yourself. Don't tell her. She doesn't need to know.
I think that's great advice.
Try that.
Yeah.
Because it might just be nothing. Mm-hmm. I think often it's nothing. And then men maybe make a decision they regret. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to see that because it's very hard to forgive cheating. I don't think I could. And that doesn't mean someone else can't. It's just I know myself. I don't think I could get past that. And it might have been just a dumb mistake. Mm-hmm. And I still might never get past it. And that would be sad for both people, right? Mm-hmm. But you are what you are. And there are lines that cannot be uncrossed. So I think sometimes guys are more impulsive that way and they get into trouble and they regret it. And I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. I think it's often because of this. It's something like this. You can't do that to yourself. That's not even real. That's just fear and insecurity kind of taking over. just because they're more physical. That's just they're more inclined that way. Mm-hmm. It's totally normal. It's just not good to act on those impulses. You have to remember this little test. Mm-hmm. And that's what you should do throughout your marriage. By yourself, unbeknownst to her, and you will do great, and you will be happy, and you will appreciate what you have.
Yeah,
you can manage this. So that's a great way.
I think that's great advice, and thank you for the question.
Yeah.
Benice, I hope I'm saying that right. Benice? Benice?
Benice?
Yeah.
Benice.
Benice.
But wouldn't it Benici?
Benici.
Would it be? Yeah, because if it were Italian, it wouldn't be Benice. There would be, I don't think they do that.
Yeah, I don't, because it's the C.
I don't think they do that. Why are we doing this?
I don't know, okay. But thank you.
Oh, that was entertaining.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. Ready for the third
question? Sure.
Okay, so this one comes.
Blobby and lots of too many words.
No, I think that was great.
Okay.
So this is another Reddit one from Dex Ert. Mm-hmm. The title is, I rarely fall in love, but when I do, it's all consuming and I lose my charisma.
I don't even know what, like, I can't imagine. I rarely fall in love. What is often fall? Whose fault? Are they falling in love if it's often? Don't you wonder? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I don't.
Not to knock this person. I'm just saying, like.
So I'm 32 with plenty of dating experience.
That's what you think.
It's extremely.
Define plenty.
It's extremely rare for me to be interested in someone beyond one or two dates. I'm very picky, but whether that's a good or bad thing is another discussion.
So he's very sure of what this all is, isn't he?
My issue is that when I do finally meet someone who I feel could be the one, I get anxious, nervous, and I lose all my playfulness.
I just don't understand the whole notion of the one. Why would you put that kind of pressure on yourself?
I'm generally funny and witty.
Well, you really like yourself.
It's what makes people like
me.
Sorry.
How do you know? Have you asked them all?
Yet when I need these faculties the most, I tend to lose it and the girl gets bored with me. I get too worried about whether she likes me and if I'm totally myself, I suppose. This happened to me recently and it's devastating. I feel like someone...
What?
I finally like someone and then it just ends.
It's devastating?
She said that this lack of flirting, jokes, or fun was exactly the reason she wasn't excited about me anymore, so that just reinforces my problem.
Wait, but you're sure of all these other things. I don't see how they can exist at the same time.
How do I find peace and calmness in myself when I meet
someone? Oh, Jesus. This person sounds like a drama, like a real dramatic person.
When I meet someone I'm infatuated with.
Why do you think you get all of these things, by the way?
How do I maintain my confidence and authenticity?
You don't ask yourself that dumb question. I'm a little annoyed with this person. I'm this, I'm that. Oh, you don't know that people like me because of this and that. Well, what? How do we know that?
We don't.
This one didn't. And now it's devastated you. It's like, what? You're up and down and all over the place, dude. Mellow out. Find your mean. Good luck. You're going to be all over the place the rest of your life.
He said, essentially, he says that he's awesome and he like really is charming.
Except when he's horrible.
Except
and
when
a complete failure.
When he's so into the other person that he just gets so nervous and
self-aware. No, that is, what is that called? That's like magical thinking. It's like drama. Like it's either or it's and it's neither. It's not either. Uh-huh. That's fantasy land. That's in your child mind. Mm-hmm. That's what children think. And they need to think that way because they're learning to walk. They're learning to poop. They're learning to eat. Mm-hmm. Okay? Not their poop. They're not eating the poop. But they might. I don't think they do, though. Uh-oh. Okay. Delete. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, if that's what you're learning, how to move your limbs, what do these hands do? How do I manipulate them? That's pretty black and white, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If you had nuance as a kid, it would be very difficult to do the things that you need to do in order to learn. Mm-hmm. You would fall and you'd be terrified of falling. So you'd think of all the possibilities. Well, if I fall over there, you'd never learn to walk.
Yeah.
So kids are like that because they have to be. It's very practical. Mm-hmm. But you need to let that go. That's supposed to go, well, it doesn't go away, but what happens is nuance. You know, the complexity of a situation is more, you're able to absorb that more and mm-hmm. comprehend it. And I think as you get older, that becomes easier. He sounds like he's still at age 4 mm-hmm. because that's immature.
Yeah.
You don't know that everybody thinks you're this or that. You can maybe have a guess, but I wouldn't be too sure. Mm-hmm. You think you've dated a lot. Well, okay, but that's in your context.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not true either. So don't be so firm and don't be so certain
mm-hmm.
about anything like that. Because A, you don't need to be. There's no reason you need to be sure of any of this. You can just exist
right.
and see what happens.
Right.
You don't know. I mean, I don't fall in love easily. How old?
32.
Okay. 32. Okay. Okay, so this has been going on for a little while for this person, and they're not learning, are they? Because you at 32, I don't know why you're fumbling around like a little baby. Because you shouldn't be. Maybe that's because you're so sure of everything about yourself, and you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
You might want to be more open to how others perceive you, and that it's going to depend on every person, and over a period of time, yes, maybe you can kind of gauge that, but never be sure of anything like that. The second you're sure, and if that goes wrong, if you're wrong, it's going to devastate you. So to put all of your faith in this certainty, A, it's not realistic because no one can be that certain about anything. Good luck.
Yeah.
So you're going to, what you should do, this is what I used to tell my students, the best thing you can do for yourself, like when they're graduating from college, right? Learn how to live with uncertainty. They all wanted these jobs. They all wanted this security way more than they used to. I know it's the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents of 9/11, I know that having little kids then must have made them terrified. And mm-hmm. I think that was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think they smothered these kids, okay? Because mm-hmm. it changed. I saw a change. And it took me a while to figure it out, but why would I see a collective change in my own students? It's too weird. That just didn't happen before. And that's why I think that's what happened. So this is bad. It is bad for you to be certain because you leave yourself no room for change, for possibility, to adapt. You put too much pressure on yourself, too much pressure on them, and then when it doesn't work out, you're devastated.
Mm-hmm.
No one should be devastated to that extent by something like that.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Devastation, save that for when your partner of 20 years dies, okay? We were just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's devastation. Or when someone betrays you. That mm-hmm. can be very devastating. This is absurd.
Yeah, it is.
You don't know devastating. And in a way, people will live like that to avoid really being devastated. The possibility of actual devastation, they will practice it over and over again in ways they know they can control that are not devastating
mm-hmm.
just to pacify their fear.
Yes.
And that's what this sounds like.
I think you're absolutely right.
So no human can be certain of anything other than how they choose to respond to anything that happens and what situations they put themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can, not always, but often, you mm-hmm. can lead your own sort of trajectory. You can guide it. And lots of people do that, not having the best guidance as parents. They can do that themselves. They figure it out. They're very self-sufficient. All of us has that capacity. And this is not healthy. That's his problem.
I think you're right.
He builds people up to be something they can never be. And treats a situation that isn't that bad like it's horrible. That's irrational.
Yes, it is.
The good that people can be, it can be that good, but it's not going to be that good right away. It's not going to be that good within a year. It's going to be good over time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the test. So, sorry, and there's a lot of that going on in the world right now,
mm-hmm.
this black and white thinking that is absurd
mm-hmm.
and immature as hell.
Yeah.
And irrational.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, this is, if you get rid of this part where we can't be certain and we don't know, if you get rid of that, you get rid of all growth, all development of all, any part of the brain. Human bonds are superficial. You need all of the complexity. You need to learn and grow. You need to make mistakes. You need to learn how to sort of level your own reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world is not going to comply with mm-hmm. you, and it shouldn't.
Yeah.
You, however, can learn not to comply, but to manage that.
Mm-hmm.
You get to decide who you hang around with. If you don't like them, you don't have to hang around with them. If you don't like people at your job, quit your job. Figure out. There's so many ways you can be creative in figuring out how to deal with these situations. If we lose that by calling everyone names and deciding this is that and that's this and I know it for sure, you're going to have, you won't have civilization.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no growth. It's absolutely beyond my comprehension why people are doing this. They're killing humanity. So this is not good for him. It's not good for him.
No, it's not.
And it ain't gonna be good for anyone he's with. And they might actually draw, like, each other.
Yeah.
It's almost narcissistic. It's like when you start thinking things are that dramatic, you're not living in the real world.
Yeah.
The really dramatic things are not happening that often.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, they're profound. And you have to walk through it. You don't simulate it like a game. It's not a game.
Yeah.
And this feels like a game.
It does.
He needs to level out. He needs to be more, use that energy for other things. Or find out if he has a little issue, because honestly, that's just like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
Oh, go be an actor. I don't know. They seem to like that.
They do.
That's irrational. Mm-hmm. You're always going to need some jolt.
Right.
It's addictive.
That's true.
If everything's this or that, you're going to need that the rest of your life, like a drug.
Right.
You will never be happy. You'll never find fulfillment. And you will never fulfill your own potential. And you will never really give.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show to you, and it can't be a show
mm-hmm.
to anybody. It can for a little while, but not for as long as this.
Right.
It's not a show.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. You can't play it like a game. It shouldn't be played like a game.
Right.
Good luck. I don't know.
Well, I think that was good advice.
I could turn everyone off. Maybe they're all like that. I don't know.
Well, no, I don't think so, because that one, you know, I didn't really think that I would include that one today. But it just kind of read so, like, odd to me, and I didn't really know why.
That'd be exhausting to be around.
I was like, what is this? And I feel like you just articulated and deconstructed it very clearly, so I'm glad that I included it. Because, yeah, I wouldn't be able to deduce what you just did, but it just seemed weird to me.
It's like, childish. It's very immature. It's just immature.
Yeah.
It's an immature, irrational, very self-absorbed way to look at things.
Right.
It's not accurate.
Right.
If you're noticing the world around you at all times, not all the time, but I would say to some degree throughout your life, you can't live like that. You can't believe that's true.
Right.
It's absurd.
Uh-huh.
And anybody who does is, that's like an echo chamber to me. Mm-hmm. That's very, you've cut yourself off from reality.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very intelligent response.
Oh, I'm going to get ripped, aren't I?
No, you won't. I think people would respond well to that.
That man needs a spanking. I'm just kidding. Oh.
Yep. Well, that was
that
our
did
last.
It. That did it. That was the last straw.
Well, that was our last question.
Okay.
So I'm going to end the show by saying once again to please leave us a rating and or review wherever you're listening. If you can't do that where you're listening, please migrate to a platform like Apple Podcasts or Spotify that does accept ratings and reviews. You can drop one
I'm
and then
gonna do that.
Exit.
See, I do that, but I feel like it's an effort.
Well, I
wish you'd make the effort. Please make the effort.
Yeah, we would
please.
We would really appreciate it, because if you like our show, and I know that many, many of you do, you could help other people find this show, and maybe we could live.
Well, if you support the principle of the show, really.
Yeah, we could live in a world where people get actually decent relationship advice.
Well, yeah, where it's not like nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm not here to make anyone feel better or worse.
Yeah.
This is just, I would never, I guess it's whatever. I will cut that out. But no, I just don't think that helps.
Yeah.
And people are so weak.
Well, I mean.
Oh, I don't want to. Oh, it hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Pull yourself together.
That's why this show is needed. So if you want other people to, you know. Maybe you just want to spread this general mentality and approach to relationships.
Ow.
And exactly.
My feelings hurt. I'm really quite sensitive, actually.
You are very sensitive.
But I'm not like that.
No.
That was my dad. He was just a baby. He only showed that to us, though. Family.
Never at work.
But that doesn't mean I have anything about. I don't have issues. Oddly, I don't carry issues about guys because of my dad.
No,
I really don't. Luckily.
But yeah, if you believe in the mission of the show.
Although it's really easy for me not to do that. I don't know why people always carry their issues from a parent to.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's like inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
because I genuinely don't feel that around any guy. I don't feel, oh, daddy. I just don't. So I'm glad I don't. Do you? Daddy.
No, I really, I don't.
Some people do. That's fine. But it's not like it's irreparable. You can...
Well, I think that, you know, actually...
You can reason through it.
With that Myers-Briggs personality test that we were talking about in the beginning, people who have, like, the extroverted feeling, introverted thinking access, and you do, you have introverted thinking, that is actually a more helpful function in terms of deconstructing your own, like, thought process and spotting inconsistencies in how you make decisions.
Good.
Whereas people who have the extroverted thinking, introverted feeling access, which I do, they're not as good at that.
But you appear to be so much more rational.
Yes.
And you are, but apparently I'm quite rational too.
You're very rational, but also because your dominant function is a feeling function, whereas my dominant...
Oh, now they're going to think I'm a... No. No, it's just my expressiveness.
No, but you're...
And understanding people, I know.
Extroverted feeling is a part of your personality, which means that you're attuned to the feelings of those around you, and you
not
can easily...
Not weirdly, like, no. People think. I'm not out to, like, save people. I'm very,
You can identify, like, in what group, like, who would be the best in a leadership position, who would be the best in a, mm-hmm. you know, a more administrative position, who would be the best...
I do, and I say it very pragmatically.
Yeah, and so that's why you're effective in this show, because you can see in this, like, dynamic that exists outside of yourself.
Which is why the world, what's happening, is absolute agony for me.
Yes.
Because it's fixable very easily mm-hmm. if people would just take responsibility for their own behavior.
Yes.
And stop worrying about, he did that, you were blue, it's your fault.
Right.
It's like, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know it's not, right?
Yeah.
Blue can't do that to you.
No.
Can't.
No.
Do they really believe that? Because someone did that, I can't do anything about it. You can get a thick skin.
Right.
You could try that. You're not a newborn.
Yes. Exactly.
It's not your first day in the sun and you're a newborn.
No.
Okay?
If you think that other people could benefit from this show, or if you'd like to promote this style of content...
They probably did, now they don't.
If you'd like to promote this style of content and you wish that this type of relationship advice was more like mainstream than
tell everybody
than
you know.
Yeah, then you should, you know, promote the show by leaving
that'd
a rating and a review.
Because we don't want to be owned by anybody. We want to stay independent. We don't want to be owned by anyone. We want to have 100% creative control over this.
Yes.
And so the more word of mouth
yeah.
and grassroots.
Tell your friends, leave a review. Then the algorithm will tell more friends. And that then we'll be happy. Secondly... If you have your own relationship questions that you'd like us to answer in upcoming shows...
Oh, yeah. I love that.
You can send them to girlfriendtranslator@gmail.com.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
Just everyone asks. You know, it's anonymous.
It is. I mean, we...
If you want us to use your name, we will, but we don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, the people that...
Like, it doesn't matter at all to us.
The people that have written in didn't specify one way or the other, but if you have a problem with us...
Then maybe
we
shouldn't use their name. Oh, but then they won't know it's their...
Yeah, they wouldn't
What
know.
Am I talking?
Yeah,
I Tell just... Tell me to stop.
I read the first name. I don't read their last name.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah. This is dumb. It's a tangent. I'm sorry.
If anonymity is the main sticking point for you, to be very clear, we don't have to read your name if you send in a question. That's the only point that I was trying to get at.
I'm literally covering my mouth at this point.
That's So please send your questions to girlfriendtranslator@gmail.com, and we will see you for episode 25.
You're an INTJ.
Yes.
And I'm an INFJ.
Yeah, you guys should take the Myers-Briggs personality
test. Human metrics is really the best. I would try that one because I think that's the most accurate.
Yeah.
I used to have my students do this just for fun to kind of break the ice
uh-huh.
at the beginning of a semester.
Yes.
And it was really fun. I didn't keep the information or anything. I wasn't going to use it. I can do that automatically. I don't need that, but I love that. I think that's a great tool. I'm more intuitive, so I don't... Probably, mm-hmm. but it does help me understand myself,
mm-hmm.
but it was fun. It was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say fun enough?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Okay.
Pretty sick. We'll see you for episode 25.
Okay.